Thank you, son. Is that Lane's basic? Larry's basic? Can't quite make that out.
Larry.
Larry? And Charles Alcorn, be ready.
That's close enough. I know who you're talking about. I first wanted to express my support that the sports tax be applied to its original purpose in its financing of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And I hope that the Texas legislature in the near future will pay attention to its original intent and redirect it to support of this wonderful department that we have here in Texas that we should all be very proud of. I would also like to express my support for the debt financing of the Prop 8 funds that were voted in favor of by the citizens of this state, and I would hope our leaders would pay attention to their wisdom in supporting and passing these Prop 8 funds, and that they also be applied for their purpose in the future. We also wanted to compliment and the supervision and the hard work of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department in the current renovations of the San Jacinto Monument Museum. It is now in very good shape. We do meet current fire and safety code. This is a tremendous accomplishment when you consider the educators and the students and Texans and their guests that come out to this building each year. We invite everyone out on September 7th at 10 a.m. to attend this reopening ceremony. We will not charge any of the commissioners at all to ride up to the top in the elevator. I would also like to... I would also like to express my support for the location of the new visitor center and museum through the TBG plan. There were many meetings on this, and a consensus was reached for this particular location for many reasons. We are very proud of the accomplishments of the San Jacinto Museum of History over the last seven decades and the tens of millions of dollars that have been raised privately for Texans, their guests, and anyone else who would visit this sacred historic site. And our chairman of the Board of Trustees will speak further in support of the TBG plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Frederick. Charles Alcorn and Barry Ward, be ready.
Thank you. My name is Charles Alcorn, and I'm preparing on behalf of the Battleship Texas Foundation. We support the master plan as prepared by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and the Visitor Center as proposed. In 1947, the Texas Legislature passed an act accepting the Battleship Texas from the United States government as a permanent memorial, and quoting, for the commemoration of the heroic participation of the state of Texas in the prosecution and victory of the Second World War, and provided for berthing the vessel at the San Jacinto State Park. Texas State Parks and Wildlife is responsible for maintaining the ship as a permanent museum. The last session of the legislature authorized $16.2 million TxDOT funds for building a dry berthing solution for the Texas, which will obviate the necessity to ever tow her to a dry dock to effect repairs to the hull, since they can be accomplished on site. Visitors will be able to view the hull of the vessel from the dry dock. As part of the TxDOT grant, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department is required to furnish $4.2 million in matching funds, which the Battleship Texas Foundation has agreed to raise for the construction project. It is not economically feasible to move the Battleship Texas to another location. We have an opportunity to preserve the vessel for future generations by moving forward on the dry berthing solution at the present time. We support the proposed visitor center as proposed by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. Many meetings have been held by Texas Parks and Wildlife with all the interested parties, including the Friends of the Battleground, since 2001. The site chosen for the visitor center was selected to provide an overview of all the attractions of the park, and in particular of the battleground. From the visitor center, visitors will be able to view the area where the battle took place, the monument, and the battleship. The Battleship Texas Foundation and the San Jacinto Museum both have agreed to the request from Texas Parks and Wildlife for $175,364 each to help to fund the visitor center. A visitor center has long been needed at the park.
Go right ahead, Mr. Yeah. Alcorn.
Okay. Many visitors to the park come to see the battleship, the monument, and the museum, and fail to understand that the Battle of San Jacinto had a profound effect on the development of the United States, since it led indirectly to the expansion of the United States to the Pacific Ocean. I moved to Texas in 1967 and took my children to visit the battleship and the monument and the museum. Battle of San Jacinto meant absolutely nothing to us until several years later we read history books of Texas and learned we have an opportunity to let our visitors know through the visitor center what the Battle of San Jacinto means to the nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alcorn.
Mr. Alcorn.
Mr. Alcorn. Yeah, go right ahead.
Just for the record, so that everyone will know, where were you on that June day in, what was it, 1944?
I was on the Normandy beachhead watching the battleship Texas fire the Germans.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alcorn. Thank you for everything you do at the Battleship Texas Foundation and the rest of your foundation board members. Next up, Barry Ward. And after Barry Ward, Sarita Hickson.
I'm Barry Ward. I'm the executive director of the Battleship Texas Foundation. As some of you may remember, until recently, I had spent 7 years as the site manager and curator of the battleship itself. So I've spent a significant portion of my professional life so far protecting that ship. I think you've had ample testimony and you have ample information at your disposal to make your own decision on where that site should be. There are other experts other than that. What I would like to implore you to do is to consider the expedition of any solution. That ship, and I know it better than anybody, that ship needs repair. If we were on the previous repair type cycles, we would already be anywhere from 3 to 5 years overdue. It is essential that we repair that ship or effect its repair and permanent dry berthing solution in a timely manner. Time is of the essence. Not only for the repair factor, but also for the funding factor. We have the opportunity to gain over $16 million in funds at a 4-to-1 match, and 4-to-1 for my money is a pretty darn good deal, and I don't think those types of opportunities are going to come along very often. So again, I would implore you all to consider quite carefully whatever we do that may lose us the opportunity to acquire the funds to effect that permanent solution for that ship. Thank you all very much.
Terry, thank you. Thank you for all your service to Parks and Wildlife and your work on the ship. Appreciate it. Sarita Hickson, and after Sarita Hickson, Dale Buell will be ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Sarita Hickson, and I'm here as chairman of the San Jacinto Museum of History Association. I also serve on the Texas Historical Commission, and I want to echo the statements of Captain Alcorn and Larry Spasek, our museum president, as well as Barry Ward, and state for the record that our museum is very much in favor of moving forward with construction of a new visitor center at San Jacinto as proposed under the TBG plan. We are pleased that architectural selection is moving forward and are convinced that if the archaeology that is called for is done and that the design of the visitor center is done properly and located properly, it will greatly enhance the park for the future generations of Texas. I know that there are differences of opinions on this, and we've heard them for many, many years. They have been voiced and heard over the years at many stakeholder meetings. The time has come, though, to move forward and take advantage of a wonderful economic possibility that is in our grasp. And not to do so, I think, would be a tremendous loss for our state and for our nation. I also, on another note, want to thank you all for all of the wonderful assistance that you have given us in the last 2 years in completing the repair and renovation of the San Jacinto Monument, which after 2 years of having the elevator closed, I have the hard time believing that we're just days away from reopening and once again begin carrying people up to the top of the monument. And to commemorate this special occasion, I want to reemphasize that you all are invited to the commemorative ceremony to be held on Thursday, September 7th at 10 o'clock. I hope those of you who can join us will be there. We'd love to have you join us. And just once again, I know you all have received some letters, one from our organization and one from the Friends. And again, there are differences of opinion, and everybody can agree to disagree on certain things, but the important thing is that at the end of the day, we must move forward for the benefit of the park, and we look forward to working with Parks and Wildlife and the Battleship and all of the other constituent groups out at the park to make sure that we do something that we can be proud of for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hickson. Thank you for your service and all your great work there at San Jacinto. And you've, those members of the commission don't know it, Sarita Hickson's worked long and hard on the San Jacinto Monument and the Battleship, and we appreciate your service. Dale Buell and Bert Kasperwitz, be ready.
Mr. Chairman, commission members, I want to thank you, first of all, for your service to our state. My name is Dale Buell. I live here in Austin, Texas, and I come to you this afternoon to discuss the failure of our state to provide for the health and care of our state parks and our historical areas. For the last 10 years, our spending on parks seems to have been in decline, despite the fact that the citizens of Texas have repeatedly called for increased attention to open space, environment, and recreation. As a result, the state leadership seems to be continuing its deception to the taxpayer in several ways. Despite giving lip service to park support, it continues to downgrade and reduce facilities, staff, and equipment as year after year it cuts budgets to parks. I have often talked to park officials about funding needs. One told me in a state hearing he was asked by a legislator, "So, you want to increase your budget. How many children do you want us to cut from the health insurance program to accomplish that?" What a question. Of course, the park official, when given such a choice, declined to put children at risk, and withdrew his request. Is this any way to run our state government? For example, the revenue that is raised from sporting goods equipment, fishing and hunting licenses is bought by Texans who purchase them to go for parks, open space acquisition, and improvement of our wildlife populations in the state. However, according to newspaper accounts, that revenue is capped, and the excess goes to projects other than for what it was intended. When folks buy their wildlife license plates, they think that all that extra that they pay for it is going to support things that they support, such as hunting and fishing and, yes, even their pets. But it appears that this program is a fraud as well, since we learned that only a portion of the revenue that special license plate generates are used for that purpose for which they were intended. Is this any way to run our state government? When challenged, the state says, oh, but it's legal. Maybe it is. But is it moral? Is it right? Are we experiencing this type of government deception? At this time in Austin, we're experiencing something similar. The city of Austin right now is trying to take endangered species habitat from the Balcones Canyonland Preserve, make it into a water treatment plant. By doing so quickly, it hopes that the public will not notice the ramifications of taking preserve land, and without public input, it is thought that no one will actually notice. Despite the fact that this land was purchased with bond money for the purpose of setting this land aside forever to protect black-cat vireo and golden-cheeked warblers, the city says that this is legal. This brings back memories of a time I appeared here before talking about the selling off of Big Bend Ranch property without public input. Is this any way to run a city government? I have observed state and local government agencies twist the truth with fine print and technical verbiage to accomplish their goals, but are they our goals? Is it moral to collect money under false pretenses? Is it moral to take money for one purpose and spend it on something else? Whether it's a toll road or a water treatment plant, the citizens have a right to expect that their government will not try to deceive them. To tell us that toll roads will give us roads at less cost when in fact they'll cost more than if paid up front with tax dollars is a fact. The real cost to commuters will have much greater expense than if gas taxes were raised. This is deceptive. It's not a way to run a government. We're grown-ups. We can take it. Just tell us the truth. If we need to raise taxes, tell us. Tell us what the increases will be used for, and then keep your word. If our licenses and fees are collected for a reason, put those dollars into those purposes and don't hide, even if it is legal. We expect more of our elected officials, and if they don't, perhaps their terms should be shortened. The public trust of Texas is shaken. Our faith in our government has been undermined, and today I trust that we'll be beginning of some truth-telling. We love our parks. We love our open space. We love our rivers and estuaries and wildlife. You are to protect them. The people of Texas are depending on you. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman, commissioners, thank you for giving me the time to speak. I'm here as a private person, a longtime user of the parks, and also a supporter of the parks. I, too, have seen a deterioration in the parks. Lack of proper funding has resulted in reductions in staff. I'm sure you all know that. Closing of some parks and poor maintenance. I briefly want to echo what the previous gentleman said. I think that the funding, user fees, and other generated revenue should be returned to the parks and not for other uses. And really, I want you to keep in mind that the parks really belong to the people, to us, and that they should never be privatized or sold off. They're really a heritage to our children. And finally, one other thing. They really generate a lot of income. When I go to different parks, I often go to Davis Mountain State Park. You see people from all over the nation coming to the park. They go into Fort Davis. They spend their money. And they do that around every park. Many of those people spend as long as 2 weeks, 3 weeks in our area, and that brings in local money. So please consider that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kessler. And as an aside, I hope all of you who are interested in state park funding will pay attention to the report we're going to receive from the committee that I appointed several months ago, State Parks Advisory Committee, to address the very issues Mr. Beulah and others addressed. And we hope to have that, well, I know we will have that report tomorrow. Next up, Jim Hare and Terry Colley. Be ready.
I'm Jim Hare from Tyler. Our state parks have always been very important to me and my family, especially Garner Park and Tyler State Park, so I appreciate the chance to comment on our park funding problems. I question how a state with so much industry, oil and gas production, etc., can be so short of tax revenues that it ranks last in the nation in park spending, has 19,000 people waiting in line for state mental health services, and why it cut back school funding so deeply that the school districts were able to sue the state and win. The question today is how our state government justifies cutting back park funding and even more critical state services while granting large, unexplained tax favors to certain businesses such as the alcohol industry. Here's a few facts for you to think about. Texas alcohol health costs and damages are reported by the state at over $16 billion annually. However, state alcohol taxes only offset about 6% of those damages. The state's alcohol cost is $6 billion greater than Texas cigarette health costs. Yet, while our legislature just increased cigarette taxes by $1 to $1.41 per pack, they kept the beer tax at 1.8 cents per can. Beer makes up about 93% of Texas alcohol sales, yet beer taxes have not been increased in 23 years. 23 years. We've had two increases in our sales taxes since the last beer tax increase. Tripling Texas beer taxes would only put us at the average of the top 10 states. Now think about that, because we're probably number one in the nation in cost of alcohol abuse. Since we've heard no other logical reasons, we have to assume the large campaign donations and private jet use are what protects the alcohol industry from tax increases. This special tax treatment for alcohol leads directly to funding problems for parks and other state functions. I hope you'll ask Governor Perry and your other elected representatives how they justify the 23-year freeze on beer taxes while they're shutting down our state parks. And now that the park problem is getting a lot of press, a quick fix cash infusion is almost certainly on the way. But when a politician mentions to you how he found the money for our parks, ask him how many more Texans will have to be deprived of state mental health services or some other critical need. The special tax treatment for beer in Texas is costing all Texans a very high price. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Just so we're clear on what the commission can and cannot do, this commission never asked for their park funding to be cut. I'm hearing some things. I wonder, I may be better directed other places, but anyway, thank you very much for that. And as to the short-term fix, if you'll read my charges to the State Parks Advisory Committee, it's for a long-term solution, and I hope you'll stay tuned to see that report tomorrow. Terry Colley, and then Doug Evans up.
Thank you, Chairman Fitzsimmons, members of the Commission. My name is Terry Colley. I'm the Deputy Executive Director of the Texas Historical Commission. You've heard from two of our Commission members today, Earl Broussard and Sarita Hickson. It's my pleasure to highlight the fact that the staff members in both of our agencies continue to work together on issues that are important both to our agencies and to the state, specifically the historic sites, of which you've heard two or three of those this afternoon. We share the same concern for the historic sites that has been expressed by your commission and your staff, and we recognize that the situation is critical. We want to do whatever we can do to help you bring resolution to the issue. Glad to hear that the Historic Sites Advisory Committee will be meeting again in a few months. We feel like this committee's input can be extremely helpful to helping these historic sites. And I'd like to commend your staff for getting the word out regarding the condition of the sites. Walt Dabney was kind enough to join us in Galveston a few months ago make a presentation to our commission and let them know exactly where we stand and what the extent of the problem is. We appreciate you sending him there, and let me assure you that we are in daily communication with your staff on these types of issues. Again, we stand ready to assist you in any way that we can, and I appreciate the work that your staff does, both professionally and personally, and appreciate the opportunity to speak this afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the work you do with our staff and taking care of those historic sites. Appreciate it. Doug Evans and Steve Bosick, be ready.
Honorable Chair Fitzsimmons and members of the Commission, my name is Doug Evans. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation in Grapevine, Texas, here representing Grapevine and also the Texas Recreation and Parks Society. First, I'd like to commend Bob Cook and Walt Dabney, Tim Hogshead, all the employees of the State Parks and Wildlife Department for the great job they do for our state. You had mentioned the report, and I'm anxious for the report to come out. I'm really hoping it gets our Texas state parks back on the right track, and it needs to go the opposite way it is going right now. I also hope there's recommendations in the report supporting restoration of funds for the Texas Recreation Parks account, which we all know about and Joe Turner mentioned before. I had the privilege of serving on the State Park Advisory Committee in 2001 and 2002, and went to a lot of state parks, as many as I could, with the time that allowed, to visit the park managers and to take tours of the parks. And it was sad. To me, it was very sad at the condition I saw of the facilities in the parks and of the vehicles they had and of the equipment they had in the state park system. In fact, I felt so bad, I went back to Grapevine and asked our city council to donate a vehicle to Mother Neff State Park in 2004 because it was much better than the vehicle that they had, or the main vehicle they had in the park for the state park system. I'm also so glad to see the condition of our state parks being front and foremost in the newspapers. Everywhere you pick up a newspaper, you see publicity about our state park system. And I'd like to thank George Bristol and the Texas Coalition for Conservation. I know they've done a lot of work in getting that out in the forefront. I've seen Walt Dabney's presentation on the condition of our state parks, and I've asked him to come to Grapevine to talk to the Grapevine Rotary Club and talk to the Grapevine American Business Club and give that presentation, because I know they need to know what's happening with our state park system. Ranking 49th out of 50th in state park funding per capita is not something that Texas should be proud of, and I know we're going to go the other way. In closing, again, I'd like to thank the Commission. I'd like to thank the State Parks Advisory Committee and Chairman Montford for the work they're doing on the report. I'd also like to thank, again, George Bristol and the Texas Coalition for Conservation for their work. I can assure you the Texas Recreation Park Society, all our members will be walking the halls in support of increased funding for our state park system and for our Texas Recreation Parks account. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Joe, thank you. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your help last session. We're not successful, but I think as more and more people become aware of the situation, that'll be different. I appreciate your help, because you've been helping us for a number of years that we've been working on this. And to answer your question on the local park grant program, I specifically charged Chairman Montford's committee on that issue of local parks, because I think Tim Hogshead's outfit does a fantastic job of leveraging a small amount of money into a great open space and parks opportunities. And so you will. I charged them with addressing that, so you will see that in the report.
Appreciate that, and we're here to help you all, because we know the condition of our state parks and we need a lot of help.
I appreciate your help. Thank you. Mr. Bosak. I hope I got that right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And Ken Kramer, be ready.
Good afternoon. I'm speaking also on behalf of the Texas Recreation and Park Society. TRAPS is a statewide organization of professionals with over 2,200 members. Our membership includes city, county, state, and federal parks and recreation professionals, as well as architects, engineers, planners, equipment manufacturers, sporting goods distributors, and the private sector. We're an advocacy group for representing parks and recreation interests throughout the state. We advocate for people, parks, and programs that enhance the quality of life in Texas. First thing Traps wants to say is thanks. I echo what Doug's been saying. Thanks for your efforts to restore state park funding. We want to thank Walt Dabney and Bob Cook for their proactive work in making the state legislature and the state leadership aware of the dire situation our state parks are in. And we appreciate what Walt's been doing, and we also appreciate the department's support of those activities. In the past, state parks have not been a priority, and that's why we have problems today. We encourage the commission to make funding for all parks a priority in this agency. And Traps also wants to thank you for the Texas Recreation and Parks Account Local Park Grant Program. Tim Hogsett and his staff do an invaluable service to us, and we appreciate that. I work for the city of Leander. I'm the Parks and Recreation Director there, and we're currently developing Benbrook Ranch Park with a TRPA grant, assistance grant. Leander has grown from 3,400 to 25,000 in a period of 10 years. We couldn't be building this new park that we need without your assistance. You know, we all know the warm and fuzzy good things parks do for our communities, but until now, we haven't talked about economic impact. TRPA is funded through the sporting goods sales tax, and the creation of new parks, local parks and state parks, stimulate the purchase of more sporting goods. And when these funds are used for the purposes they're intended, they translate into better public health, economic development, job creation, education, corporate relocations, juvenile crime prevention, and better quality of life. This year, the Texas Recreation and Park Foundation will roll out a local parks and recreation economic impact study that's being prepared by the Perryman Group. This study will demonstrate what local parks do for our economies, much in the same way state parks impact the state's economy. You've seen articles published throughout the state exposing the condition of our state park system. You've heard the state park funds have been cut, and that if we increase appropriations from the sporting goods sales tax, we can save our state park system. What you haven't heard, though, or read much about, is for the past two bienniums, the local park share of the sporting goods sales tax has been cut to the bone. Traps wants to be sure the commission is aware of that fact, and we respectfully ask your support to increase funding for local parks, too. We are hopeful that the State Parks Advisory Board will recognize the importance of local park grant program in their soon-to-be-released report, and that the commission will join us to advocate for increased funding for this incredible program. I assure you that Traps will work hard for you next session in support of legislation to increase funding for all parks, including state parks. Traps encourages the commission to make park funding a long-term commitment, and if we work together, we can support a seamless system of parks that all people can enjoy, regardless of the agency that manages them. Let's move forward on a mutual parks agenda that improves the quality of life for future Texans. It's a matter of economics. It's a matter of responsibility. Investments today will provide compounded benefits tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I guess you know that's, as I just said before, the local parks grant program has been a particular interest of mine.
Yes, sir.
Since I came on the commission 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Support it very strongly, and it is an integral part of that recommendation. Because it's a very efficient, well-run program, and the more of it, the better.
So thank you. We appreciate
your support.
You betcha.
Next up, Ken Kramer, and then Fran Miles.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, for the record, I'm Ken Kramer, representing Sierra Club. I want to talk primarily about state parks, but first I want to express the appreciation of my organization to Chairman Fitzsimmons for his work on the Environmental Flows Advisory Committee and the support of Texas Parks and Wildlife Department for that very important issue. You know, I was telling Beth McDonald with friends for state parks before the meeting that it's sort of ironic that 24 years ago when I first moved to Austin to begin professionally lobbying for the Sierra Club, the first issue that I worked on and walked the halls of the state capitol about was funding for state parks. At that time, the cigarette tax was the main focus of funding for state parks, and guess what? Roughly $16 million of the cigarette tax went to state parks, and roughly $16 million to local parks. Well, that figure sounds real familiar to me, like that's what the $32 million from the sporting goods tax was supposed to go for. So here we are 24 years later, that's the same allocation, and not even all of that was appropriated this biennium for state, and especially local parks were hit hard. I also remember in the summer of 1986, flying back from vacation in Oregon, taking a cab straight to the Capitol for a special session to go lobby against proposed cuts in state parks funding. That was part of a major effort to try to bring the state budget into alignment with revenue shortfalls that happened during the middle of the biennium. And interestingly enough, at that time, a number of groups, including Sierra Club, Texas Recreation Park Society, Audubon Society, and others, all banded together and really flooded the Capitol with communications to try to stop the urgency of those cuts for state parks funding, and we were able to restore some of that money and prevent a number of parks from being closed. I'm very happy to see the outpouring of support for state parks funding, and we very much support the work of your advisory committee to try to lift that cap on the sporting goods tax and not only get that full revenue allocated to parks funding, but also appropriated to parks funding, because that is the key. I want to emphasize that my organization will do everything possible in the coming months to make sure that the recommendations of the advisory committee are followed through. And we want to emphasize that we support full funding for local parks as well as for state parks, because this is an integrated park system throughout the state of Texas. And the strength of our local parks and the strength of our state parks are dependent upon one another. The ability for us to bring kids into the outdoors in a local park ultimately increases the appreciation of children and adults for the outdoors, which your organization, your agency, is pledged to support and protect. We thank you for your work, and we'll be there to help you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all your support, Ken, through the years. You've been a great advocate for us in our efforts for state park funding, and as you mentioned, our efforts on environmental flows. And I want to thank you for the help you gave my committee to come up with those recommendations. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Ken. Fran Miles. And Thomas DeBoer, be ready.
Members of the commission, my name is Fran Miles. I'm here on behalf of Mission Tejas State Park and the Cadouin Mounds Historical Site. We ask that you allow adequate funding for all state parks, especially those located within Region 8 of East Texas. Those include our Cadouin Mounds Historical Site and Mission Tejas State Park. As adults, we all understand the importance of each and every child within our state to receive a solid, well-rounded education. We have over 45 school districts within five counties that border these two parks. It is up to us as Texas citizens to preserve our heritage by giving each child a continued opportunity to walk through these amazing historical sites and witness firsthand how our land and communities have developed over time. Our Cadouin Mounds State Historic Site delivers a firm understanding of how the Indians settled within East Texas. They use team effort in conducting their chores and daily activities within each tribe, and how they economically and physically survived. Within this park is a museum, the best kept secret in East Texas, that displays over 200 tools and pottery items used by the Indians on that site. Without a firm grasp of our past, children of today and tomorrow might not understand how to carry on such an important piece of Texas. Our state parks provide a learning experience for our local Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Eagle Scouts, and Garden Clubs. The Scouts are providing with numerous resources to earn their badges, with some projects enhancing our parks through volunteered materials and labor. Gentlemen, Our children need to be taken into consideration for the future. Give them an opportunity to get high on life and not on drugs. This anti-drug program works. Thank you.
Thank you. Thomas DeBorg, and then we have Beth McDonald, Texas for State Parks. Be ready.
Commissioners, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Texans, and Senator Staples, good to see you. I'm the president of the Mission Tejas Cattlewood Mound Friends Association, and I would just like to say that many individuals and many Texans and Texas themselves has benefited from our agricultural products in East Texas, our oil, our gas, natural resources, and our game, and the timber of East Texas as well. Over these years, it's tremendous benefit to the state and to the people. We also have a cultural and educational resource in our state parks, and there's talk of taking them away. We have over 60 school districts in 12 surrounding counties. There's colleges, scout troops, and voting taxpayers from all over the state and hunters who utilize our parks and recreational areas, many of whom bring much-needed dollars into our small business community and of East Texas itself. It's a very economically depressed area, by the way. We need every dollar we can get. Let us keep Cattlewood Mound State Park, an area that was populated and thriving 1,300 years before Columbus. Let us keep Mission Tejas, the first Christian mission in Texas. Let us keep the Texas State Railroad. And let us keep and protect the El Camino Real, where the likes of Davy Crockett, Sam Houston, Jim Bowie, Angelina, and Cynthia Ann Parker walked and rode into history. Someone once said, I think it was Socrates or Plato, I'm not sure which, you cannot know your future if you do not know your past. Let us keep, preserve, and learn from our past. Please do not let them close our state parks. I appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Beth McDonald. And Scott Stigle, be ready.
Howdy.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Good afternoon, Chairman Fitzsimmons, Commissioners, Mr. Cook, Mr. Dabney. First, if you'll forgive me, Mr. Cook, I'm going to wander around a little bit, and it's excusable at my age, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. She hasn't said before. I don't. She hasn't run
out. First, if I might, I would like to congratulate Commissioner Holmes on the birth of his grandchild. I don't know if this is his first, and I've even forgotten if it's a girl or a boy. Little memory problem. Okay, seven. I have a little memory problem. I've heard that memory is the second to go, and I've forgotten what first. You see, I live with this baby's great-grandfather. Well, not exactly. My husband, Bill, and I live in the same retirement facility in the apartment adjacent to the proud great-grandfather, Jason's grandfather. All foolishness aside, I come to you today with the same plea that I have made to you and to previous commissioners so many times in the past. Please do everything in your power to keep entrance fees at our state parks, historic sites, and state natural areas as affordable as possible. They need to be affordable for our people who maybe don't have any place else to go to recreate a place of refuge and regeneration for the general populace now and in the future. If we don't get our kids into the parks and get them interested in the outdoors now, we won't have future park users. If we don't get our parks restored, we won't have a place for them to go. So, I know that we're all on the same page, and I've heard it again and again today, and I'm so happy about that. It is with pleasure today that I bring you greetings from the Board of Directors of Texans for State Parks, from the individual friends groups of the individual parks,